the T-minus.
Niggas been counting me out. I'm counting my bullets. I'm loading my clips. I'm writing down names. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT Hoops. An intermediate episode that Quiddy and I just wanted to give out for you guys, just talking about some of the NBA news and content that's been going on for the past 3 or 4 days with All-Star Weekend. In this episode, we talked about pretenders and contenders, the Harden comments that Curry and Budenholzer were talking about during shoot-around, and just some guys that we think are going to turn it on, or guys that we think are going to cool off going into the final third of the year. Enjoy.
I'm with Quiddy Slang. What's good, Quid?
You, Quid Buck in the building. Good answer.
And, what's going on, baby? Just after the All-Star break, Valentine's Day break, just wanted to kind of check in, talk a little hoops and things that have been going on in the media, and also just catch up with my man. First of all, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good, man. Watching the All-Star game and when they play around all crazy, but it was lit. Can't complain.
Yeah, with Jason Tatum wins at the buzzer in the skills
challenge.
Yeah,
man, they need. I don't know, bro. They gotta bring something back. I think they have to bring the horse competition back because it's getting real bland, man.
I did like the horse competition because that was like what it happened like on an outside court, right? And it was just like niggas was going back and forth. I like that.
Why not just do that in the gym though? Like, just have a couple guys, 4 guys that can do a lot of things, and just have them. You know what I'm saying? Do whatever. Do like dunks, mid-range, threes, all that.
And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's with TNT and the scheduling and timing, but to me, I think they should clear out a 4 to 5 hour block on like TNT and just have all that going on all day. Like if you start that at like 5 o'clock and you got like, all right, the horse competition, you can involve a lot more players, like maybe more guys will be willing to do stuff that are actually in the game. I mean, that's granted. I don't know what these niggas are doing. Like at 5 o'clock, they could be drinking at 5 o'clock while this is going on and show up for the dunk contest.
I mean, not the day of. Definitely not the day of.
Not the day of the All Star game.
Yeah,
I
know.
I mean, everybody that's not in a dunk contest, they're lit.
I definitely agree. I feel like it's all built up, and then that dunk contest, skills competition, and it goes so fast. It's like a little quick little hour. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, damn, all that wait for that. You know what I mean? So it definitely needs to be like longer and you know more stuff.
Yeah, and then we had the All Star game on Sunday. Team Bron came back midway through the fourth quarter to start busting it.
Russell Westbrook just started ruining. Russ just started drawing on Team Giannis, man. They were killing. Like, he came in just chucking.
Yeah, he shot like 8 for 20. He was like, how you -19 in an All Star game, like.
Yeah, man, he ruined it, but whatever.
Yeah.
What's good? Let's get into these topics, baby.
Yeah, so tonight we got lined up. We have teams that are contenders versus pretenders, just separate after 2/3 of the seasons. Yeah. I think teams are around like 55 to 57 games into the year. And going into this final third, we kind of just wanted to see which teams are going to be there in around what, late May? Right is when I guess the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals are, and it's not just to kind of give our top four, but it's let's say the top 8 teams that we say are should be playing or could be playing around that time of year.
I didn't do it like that. I did top 4 actually opposite what you said, but
let's go your way.
I'm gonna go. So I actually have it flipping a little bit. I have Toronto finishing first. Right, I think I'm not saying Milwaukee's going to play necessarily worse, but I don't think. Well, they are going to play a little bit worse because I don't think they're going to win at the same rate. You know what I'm saying? Just because of like the late season, the pace and the spacing is going to be a little different. It's going to be a little bit tougher for Giannis, and I think that
And to give perspective on what you're saying for the listeners, the Raptors right now are 43-16, and the Bucks are 43-14, and the Raptors have the easiest schedule in the NBA to go on. But continue.
I actually didn't even know that. So that, that even, adds on to my point even more. The Raptors got deeper. They were the deepest, in my opinion, they're one of the deepest, if not the deepest team in the league. You know what I'm saying? They added McCall, they added Jeremy Lin, and they added big dude, Marc Gasol. So,
And he's only playing like 20 minutes a night now, and sometimes he's going to be coming off the bench, sometimes he'll start, but it makes him a lot more versatile. Yep.
Right. So I touched on Milwaukee. I don't think they'll be at the same rate. I think, you know.
But do you think they'll be in second place is what you're saying?
I think they'll be the 2 seed. I think Philly will finish third, and I think Boston will end up finishing fourth. And Indiana will drop to 5. And
Do you think Philly wants to stay? Like, if we're kind of just playing it out, do you think Philly wants to stay around that 5 range, or do you think we want to gun for 3? Because maybe you want to avoid the Celtics in the first round.
Yeah, you don't want to definitely don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to play. You don't want to be 4. If you're four or five,
we're not going to drop lower than 5. You know.
Right. Correct. Yeah. Right. There's no way we get to 6 because Brooklyn is so far behind. You know, the top 7 5 games. Seeds.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the ideal seed you want is, you know, obviously you want to get up to 2. So then you play that second round. You want to get
you play somebody like the Hornets or the Pistons or maybe the Heat if the Heat start running on someone.
And then that's right. And then the second round you get home court advantage against one of the tougher teams, ideally. But I think we'll finish 3rd. I think the Sixers will finish 3rd, face Brooklyn first round, and that'll be you know hard for
that could be Indiana if Nate McMillan. I know Nate McMillan doing a really good job, but they could. I'm telling you, man.
No way.
Something of
no
that
way.
Team. Okay. All right. We'll get into our Indiana conversation, but on Thursday. But I don't think that Pacers team is gonna go. Because first of all, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of just? I don't know. We'll see. Third is obviously high, but 5 and 6 is not. It's not unreasonable for them to drop to 6 and Brooklyn to go up to that 5 spot.
Brooklyn is like 7 games out right now. That's a lot of games to make up in 24. That's a lot of games to make up, bro. Like, that means Brooklyn has to get super hot and they have to get super cold. Like, everything has to go right. That's I don't know. I don't see them dropping that. No, they do. I mean, 7 games in 24, that's a lot, bro. That's a lot. I don't know. That's my opinion.
So,
So, if we're saying pretenders, you know, versus the contenders, I think those top 4 teams are obviously the contenders. You know, it's going to be a dog fight.
And for the East, that kind of, I'm just kind of matching. Yeah. Same thing. Just Bucks, Raptors. Sixers stay up to 3rd.
Right.
I think the Celtics go up to 3rd. And
Celtics go to 3, Sixers drop 4.
Yeah, and just to kind of give a preview to more, we're going to talk about this on Thursday. I think Gordon Hayward is kind of starting to not be Gordon Hayward, but he's starting to matter a little bit. Of course, it happened against us, right? And even before he played us, we're having 26 against us on Tuesday, like, this past month, he's been, I think, giving like 14, like 10 some nights, but still, like, he's getting close to 20. And then now he just went for 26, bang. And it wasn't a bad game. And so I think with him and Morris at that, like, forward spot, that's going to give us some fucking problems because they were cooking Tobias, but different topic.
Hayward, I think Hayward will benefit.
He's not going to be the only piece. I'm not saying he's going to be the piece that's going to.
You're just saying he's going to matter more. He's actually going to be, like reminiscent of Gordon Hayward that we know. I know what you mean. I think that, you know, with Kyrie back, I think when you put Gordon Hayward in ball handling situations, you let him play with pace and you let him, like, you know, try to use angles and get the different spots on the floor just off the bounce. Have him slashing, shooting threes off the pull up. You can't just have him be a spot up shooter. That's where he was struggling. So that's why I think when Kyrie's back, you know, his production goes right back to where it was because, you know, Kyrie does so much of that ball handling. As great as Kyrie is and as much of a better passer as he's become, it's something about him that he doesn't necessarily have his teammates rising to the occasion. Like, he's doing what he has to do when he has to do
it. Not involving his teammates because everyone's touching the ball, but it's right. There's more opportunity for Gordon. Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, to finish that, I'll round out the rest of the East as pretenders. I don't think anybody else has any chance of, you know, making any serious run in the playoffs. I think Brooklyn will be a tough out for anybody that faces them. Indiana, nobody wants to face
them.
They
take every series to 6.
Yeah, Indiana's tough, you know, whatever. So, Indiana plays defense, and they have a great coach. Nate McMillan's been doing an awesome job the last couple years there. So, what do you think about the West?
For the West, aside from the Warriors, so the Warriors just hold a permanent spot in the Western Conference Finals. So I'll start with the pretenders. I'll start at flip. I think the Clippers, I don't think the Clippers want to make the playoffs. For them, sitting right now in 8th, it doesn't make sense for them to make the playoffs and not get a you know what I mean, a solid draft pick that would be close in the lottery, like to minimum 9. They traded away their best player in Tobias Harris. He's not the best player. I think the Lakers are another pretender. Not that you'd be like hot takey or anything like that, but I just don't see them being able to fix everything that's going on in time to make a run in the playoffs. So I think the best case scenario for them is making the 8 seed. 8 seed means you're probably going to play the Warriors, or if the Nuggets go on some magical run and they get lucky, maybe play the Nuggets, but more than likely play the Warriors and you lose that series. So that's a pretender season to me for all the hype that they came in with. And then for the last pretender, I would have Portland, just off of memory. I know Dame is averaging 26 and CJ's not having the best year. I know that's your guy from Lehigh. But I just don't see Portland, even with Enes Kanter. Like, they're not a scary team to me late. And I know that's just a weird kind of term for it, but like, playing OKC in a 7-game series, Paul George and Russell Westbrook, I'm taking them 10 out of 10 times. And they're not even like one of the best teams in the NBA, in my opinion.
Portland is Halloween costume. They're a pretender. Every year, every single year, they're the same thing. You know, you got two really good guards. That's not enough in the playoffs. You have to have guys that are able to, you know, score.
They just built their team.
Yeah.
Opposite of however the team in the NBA is doing it. Like, Kevin Durant is just cooking them every, like, they played, Golden State lost the other night, and I know it's going to the All-Star break, but Kevin Durant was still just cooking their feet. Like, I bet on that game, and I took Kevin Durant over under 1.5 threes, and he made 3, and I was like 2 in the first half. But, 14 points in the first quarter, just whenever he wanted to, he was just getting to a spot and cooking out for Camino, or if they wanted to put Evan Turner on him on switch. Like, I was almost sad just to see how easy it was. And then if the rest of the Warriors start clicking, only him and Steph scored in double figures that night. And it was still a close game going into the fourth. So, like, if a team like that, it can just play around with you. And then whenever they want, just turn on the gas. And you have no option to stop that or combat that on the offensive end. Especially, like, Dame, as good as he is as a scorer, once it gets to the fourth quarter, if teams really want to put pressure on and make other guys on the team beat them, it's possible. Like, i.e. the New Orleans Pelicans series. So,
I agree. I think Portland's a pretender for all the reasons you just named. They don't have enough perimeter. They don't have enough defenders, enough scorers on that wing. You know, you have two small guards.
No impact on that wing.
Yeah, they're both below 6'4". You know what I'm saying? You don't really have – they can score their asses off when they need to, but they're not guarding anybody, and they don't make that, you know, that playoff impact. So I think Portland's definitely a pretender. I have Utah being a pretender. Also, Utah plays defense.
Why Utah?
I don't trust the inefficient 6'3" shooting guard. That's who they're, you know, they're banking everything on. And if Donovan Mitchell doesn't go off,
do you think that's more because Rubio hasn't been playing as well as they thought this year?
This year or his career? Because
this year, end of last year, like going into like when they were playing Houston before he got hurt, like he and when they beat OKC, he was playing really well, and I think he was kind of the X factor to a lot of that respect. No, I'm not saying he was a player.
But listen, let me explain. So I think Rubio, you know what I'm saying? Rubio at his best is, you know, Rondo. He's getting everybody involved. He's just, you know what I mean? He has a great feel of the game. Like, that's Rubio at his best. But, you know, that complements, you know what I mean? He's a 6'3", 6'4", dude. That complements everything that's going on. And you have Donovan Mitchell, who's just a scoring machine. You know what I'm saying? A volume scorer. You're going to get up a lot of shots. He's going to get his buckets. But once again, they run into the same problem as Portland. Like, Joe Ingles is a hell of a player. You know what I'm saying? High basketball IQ, can shoot the shit out of the ball. You know what I'm saying?
But that's where Gobert does. That's where Gobert does make that difference, though, because having someone that can protect the rim at the rate he does, like, some, they can slow that down. Like, if he can go on stretches where it's like 2 or 3 minutes where there's nothing happening at the rim, it's all jump shots. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
For teams, and then that helps a lot more against teams like the Thunder. You know what I mean?
I hear you, but that's fine. Paul George doesn't have to, you know, get to the rim to cook Joe Ingles, and I'm not. Let's not speak for
the rest of the team.
Huh?
Yeah, the rest of the team.
I don't think Utah has enough offense. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they have, just to make a serious run. Like, I think they'll be going the second round. You know what I'm saying? If not the first. I think Portland and Utah will stay 4 or 5, and I think Utah will end up beating Portland. I don't know.
Right now, Utah's at 6 because it's Rockets Utah's at six. Rockets. Yeah, Rockets are at 5.
My bad. I have Houston.
But they're only one. It's only one game.
I have that staying that way. Or I don't know. Actually, I have the Rockets passing the Blazers, but I have the Rockets beating the Blazers ultimately in the playoffs anyway. But yeah, I have Portland as a pretender. I have Utah as a pretender, and I also have the Denver Nuggets as a pretender. Denver Nuggets. Shit. Mark this down. If the Los Angeles Lakers get to the 7th seed, they're going to beat the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs. Remember, I said they're going to lose the next round to Golden State, but they're going to beat the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs if they face each other. Denver has nothing for LeBron James. A playoff right. LeBron James. A locked in, what is it, 0-30 LeBron James. They have nothing for him, and that's the same. Denver runs into the same problem Portland runs into. They run into the same problem Utah runs into. They have a lack of – they don't have wings. That's the most important – besides the point guard position, the wing, the KDs of the world, the Kawhis, the LeBrons, the Giannis's, you have to have an elite dude on that wing that can guard multiple positions and, you know, go off on offense and just initiate everything from that 6'8 to 6'10 guy. You have to have that. And Denver doesn't have that. And yeah. I mean, here's exactly
what I think. I think Denver. Yeah. Well, my bad. I've started off. Continue.
No. I was going to say about Jokic. He pinpoints. You know, he stands in the middle of the paint. You know, that foul line extended area. He can pinpoint pass from there. But I mean, shots just going to have to fall in the playoffs. Everything tightens up, man. I don't know. I see that young Lakers team just playing well at the right time because they're going to get hot right here at the end of the season. They're going to get Lonzo back. You know what I'm saying? They're going to pick it up. He's going to pick that pace up. You know, LeBron's going to, you know, be LeBron for Andy. He's not. Come on, bro. You really think LeBron is going to play?
They're 28 and 29.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, that's not even. It's not sweet. Like, you're saying all those things sound good, but LeBron really does have to go on a. I think eighth is the best they can finish. Because the Spurs are going to start just giving out just easy losses. I kind of give you because the Spurs are in the 7th seed, and I don't think they're going to go up or down.
The Clippers and the Kings are falling out. The Clippers are falling out because they have a lack of, you know what I'm saying? They're a little gritty team with young players now that, you know, they don't really know what they should be doing. They don't even want
to
make
Clippers fall out. So what about the Timberwolves? You don't think the Timberwolves start to make ground up or
– Stop, bro. Please stop it. Just don't even bring that in. The Kings are going to fall out. The Kings are young, you know what I'm saying? All that.
You can't just say that the Kings want to make the playoffs. The Kings don't have it.
That's fine. I will put anything on it that LeBron James catches the Kings and the Clippers, bro. The Kings haven't been there before, bro.
No, it's about schedule. Tight. All right, so it's about schedule. Can I give you the Lakers, upcoming game?
Give me the schedule. And it was,
so they
still
have to play the Bucks, Nuggets, Celtics, Raptors, Bucks again.
Why do you think LeBron James is not capable of beating these teams? Like, this is not, bro.
On a back-to-back-to-back basis, like, these aren't games that aren't going on back-to-backs, but just their next game is against the Rockets right off the All-Star game break. I think they lose that game. Pelicans, they win. Grizzlies, they win. Pelicans, I don't know if they beat them twice because AD's going to have to play one of those games. And
bro, they're
going to
beat the Pelicans. The Pelicans don't even want to win basketball games. I said
they're going to beat them the first time, so we're going to keep going because you're basically predicting their run. So they have the Bucks lost, Suns they beat, Clippers they probably beat, Nuggets they lose to, Celtics they lose to, Bulls they beat, Raptors they lose to. Like going back and forth and then maybe getting a win to.
But
to
you're just 66%. You're just rattling off, you know, win loss off of okay, Raptors they lose because the Raptors are playing well this year. Like this is a different breed of, you know,
it can go wrong. It can go wrong. I guess is what I want to get at. A lot faster than go right.
Of course.
Right now, of how I'm looking at it.
So let's leave this here. Do you have the Lakers, you know, catching that 8th seed or even getting up a little higher 7?
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
So you have them at the 8th seed.
I think 8 at best, and it becomes a game with the Warriors and Nuggets for the 1-2 spot because of the Warriors. What? How do you? Golden State can easily just chill out. Like, Denver is two games behind them. Like, if Denver goes on a little run and they have like a game lead on the Warriors, I don't see the Warriors being like, oh, let's get that one seed, or like they don't care enough.
I understand that, but you gotta think of you gotta look at the scenario, the situation. You just get Boogie Cousins back. You're trying to get that groove going. Steph was saying it the other week. You're trying to get that groove going into the playoffs. They're trying to get that five playing the best basketball they could possibly be playing going into the playoffs. Their Nuggets are not catching the Warriors. I'm telling you, the Nuggets are not catching the Warriors. And you got to think, bro, all these teams, you know, Denver and the Kings, like, this is not familiar position. Like,
they're cognizant of that, though. They're cognizant of the Lakers being in the 10th spot. And where the Warriors don't care is what that's the only point is that I'm trying to make, as to where the Nuggets, like, that or maybe they try to drop down to three. You know what I mean? Like, it's all that stuff matters, man. Like, late season, Mike Malone doesn't want to have to try to game plan for LeBron in the first round. Like, if those last six or seven games, you're going to see a lot of people resting or not playing because of that. And right. I think it's all going to be due to the standings. Let's go on to the next topic,
though. Let's move on. Yeah, let's move on.
So
you want to.
Yeah, I'll bring it in. So recently, over All-Star weekend, Curry and Mike Boonholzer were having a talk during one of the shoot-arounds. And to quote what Curry said, who was quoting Harden, he said after just basically bigging him up for everything he's done this year, especially since January, Harden said, yeah, it's fun, but I want to play differently. And then he kind of just went back to the conversation that I guess was started before the video began to roll, about the free-flowing offense that the Warriors and Bucks played. I'm guessing that was the conversation was about. So what are your thoughts on those comments and just
so
maybe Harden maybe not wanting to play hero ball?
So I would have expected you to hit me with a I told you so earlier today, and just in general, since we always have this conversation about can Harden be, you know, effective in other ways, and why don't they try to make them more effective in other ways? Like, since they haven't, you know what I'm saying? Since that system hasn't worked for them as far as winning.
Oh, nigga, I waited for the podcast, baby. But consider.
No, I hear you. Listen, I hear you. But you gotta, like, once again, I'm gonna go back. to my original point. You have to go back to Dan. So he's like, listen, the way Daryl Morey and the way they built this organization, they're gonna give the ball to 1-3. Let him do what he has to do with the ball. He have all one-dimensional shooters around him, right? That's how the team. That's how the team is built. That's how the team is most effective. They have all one-dimensional shooters around him, and they think that's the most effective way that James Harden can play basketball. That's his most effective. I mean, it clearly is, because the man is averaging 36 a night. It clearly is, and it's not like they're not winning. When Chris Paul went down, they went on a streak. They went on a hot streak. They won about, I think it was like 15 or 17 or something like that.
To move get up. All that.
So what's your thoughts? I think the reason they play like that is because of James Harden's skill set. What do you think?
So I have a question that I don't know the answer to, so I can't make a definitive point about it. But when Daryl Morey was building the team, the Rockets team, and he was bringing in a lot of guys like Eric Gordon, Kukapel, they drafted, Gerald Green recently, Joe Johnson last year, Chris Paul, like they built this team like they were playing a video game almost. And it seems like maybe from this comment makes it seem like Harden didn't have the most input. It was kind of, this is a young guy and we're letting him take over the team and control the offense. But here's what we're going to do. And here's what we think is best, rather than let's see how his game develops. And so now they're kind of stuck with a team that, just like you said, can't do anything else except for stand around and watch. And not can't, but I don't trust the rest of those guys in an offense where it's like, all right, everyone's now starting to move around. Let's get it moving and going and going and going. Right. Because Chris Paul hasn't played that in a little bit, but that's besides the point. So now being stuck with that, and now Harden's unhappy, why can't D'Antoni say, let's adjust and let's start not do everything completely different, but there should be some sort of change to where, all right, if we play Boston on some random night, like, we throw a totally different look at him. Like, right now, Harden not starting off the wing, but he's not just walking the ball down for the first quarter. You know what I mean? And you kind of just have to deal with him, like, just catching the ball on the wing, and now it's just a two-man game on the wing, rather than everyone has their eyes on him focused down the court. And it's like, all right, whatever Harden does is read and react, because teams are starting to get better and better at that. And he's still getting his 38 points, but the games are a lot closer now and they're starting to lose him late.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So that I agree with everything you're saying. Like, why not, you know, switch it up? I see your concept.
And not saying it's bad. I'm not saying switch it up completely. Like, because it's obviously just a different look.
Yeah. And Harden.
Throw a different look to where it's starting to get fun.
Right.
And yeah, my bad.
What I'd say to that is, right, I'd say, I think it's kind of just going back to what I was saying originally. It's, I think that they're kind of at this place where you kind of explained it perfectly, because it's like, they're at, it's like a happy medium. It's like, okay, Harden's skill set is this. So we're going to accommodate to that. We're going to try to get as good as possible with Harden, you know, being that isolation guy. And even you can tell they brought in other isolation. Eric Gordon can get, you know, he can get it off the bounce. You know what I'm saying? Chris Paul can get it off the bounce. They brought in other guys that, you know.
Yeah, but off the, when you say off the bounce, it's off the bounce, but then kill 6 seconds. Right. This so guy, like Harden touched the ball, kill 6 seconds. Like, that doesn't work. That doesn't work.
That's their system, yeah. And I mean,
you can't system. So what do you, when you say system? Cause I guess not, I'm not looking at it from a budget perspective, but when I think system can change and be adjusted to where these guys don't have to, I guess the ball stay in their hands 6 or 7 seconds each time. Cause good teams don't do it. So can you explain that to, like, cause you're basically making it seem like that's impossible for it to happen to where it's, the ball's getting in and out of James, Chris's hands, and they're still getting their buckets, but they're getting their buckets faster, and it's making, I guess, the defense work a little bit harder. Because right now, teams don't have to work that hard when it's, you just throw Josh Okogie at Harden for 6 possessions. Everybody just watch, and then whatever size he goes to, you just play help defense. Like, that's not hard work on defense, like compared to what the Warriors or what the Bucks do, where it's a lot of running around and a lot of crashing into the glass, like. So up and down the floor.
If the Rockets didn't have such success with their, when I say system, I mean that's the way they play. Like they literally abandoned the two, they abandoned the two ball, basically the mid range game, and they go isolating top of the key. They try to get a three, or they go pick and roll and try to get a guy rolling to the rim, or they try to find a shooter in the corner, or somebody collapses in. That's just their system. They're taking more threes and twos, you know, either a three or a dunk. That's how they play. So when I say, you know, off the bounce, I mean, Houston does it in the sense when they say, okay, who can take some pressure off James Harden? They have, that's Chris Paul. So when they do that, maybe they isolate him on the left wing, or they bring Capella out to come screen for him, and then Harden stands, and then they screen, you know, they screen, everybody else is standing and spacing. Once you help it collapse a little bit, they kick out for a shooter. That's just the system they run. It's easy to say it's not successful. Listen, real quick, it's easy to say it's not successful, you know, when you're playing, you know, arguably the best, you know, put together team in NBA history as far as the Warriors, how they, you know, can pace space and, you know, move. They got a lot of guys, you know, multi-dimensional guys on offense that can do a lot of different things. And
yeah,
you know,
but it's a willingness to make, it's a willingness to let the play continue.
It's a practical,
you know, and not to interrupt you, but it's not practically impossible. Well, yes, for the Warriors, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, but it's like almost letting the play continue. Like when Harden, like off the screen and rolling, when Harden goes to like one side of the floor and starts to attack, like, like off of the pass, it's like, all right, as soon as it gets to the guy in the corner, like he puts it up just because that's the shot we wanted. And I feel like it's never the, let's just keep this running. Let's just keep it going. Like where the Warriors, like you'll see, like,
I mean, they have a
like,
couple,
like Curry will get the ball in the corner. He'll give it to Clay. Like Clay will take one dribble, like into the paint, kick it right back in the corner to Curry.
Bro, you know, I understand basketball, bro. And I understand.
They don't do any of that. They just take the first shot that's available. That's a good shot. And man, more times than not, that's Harden's shot.
So you say it's stupid, you say it doesn't work, but they were one game away from winning the NBA, being in the NBA championship. And yeah, it's hard to say.
They didn't get there. And it's they're sitting at fifth and the Warriors are at one once again.
Okay. Because that system has stood
the test of time.
They don't have the same team as last year. Capella hasn't played. They don't have Ariza. Chris Paul hasn't played. They don't have nowhere near the same team. So let's not do that.
They should be at that 37 game mark. Not as good.
It's just Harden. It's literally just James Harden. It's been just James Harden forever for the whole season. Last year they built their team to beat the Warriors. They had Chris Paul the one to go right along with the matchup with Steph. They had Harden. They had Ariza to match up with KD, try to guard him. They had Tucker to match up directly with Draymond Green, and had Capella. So
still had Tucker. Still had Capella. The only Capella person they've lost that year, you said, is a reason. Capella just got hurt the past like 10 games with that thumb. They just brought him for Reed. It was like it's like 12 or 15 games, I think, not 15. But yeah, that, I guess that's a big chunk. But
I mean, he's still been there. I think he's been there enough. Either way, he's a big piece that they just haven't had. They haven't had Chris Paul. I mean, I understand, like, in the bigger picture, you can say, you know, it won't work. Capella has played 42 games this year. So, I mean.
I guess I'm just exploring what could they do differently to make it. Because right now, if I'm looking at it, all this is nice. But at the end of the day, I know Golden State beats them 6-7, no matter what. Well, and there's nothing that changes that to me. Or I've seen, like, even with Chris Paul back and Capella could be back and they could have Free coming off the bench and a lot of energy. And, like, the analytics may say, oh, they'll push it to 6, and then after that it's a toss up. But I think the toss up just it's a coin that's weighted towards Golden State.
All right, let's leave this here. You know me, I'm a big Steph fan, so I was always rooting for him. So I'm not even about to go and try to tell you why the Rockets can beat the Warriors or whatever. But we're gonna leave it here. Last year they were up 3-2 in their second best player, who happened to be playing the best in the whole series out of both teams.
Was burned out.
Okay, burned out, whatever you want to call it. Like, you could try to say
it's a fact. It's a fact. It's not hindsight, because it carried over to this year. Chris Paul's like, you can't.
Chris Paul's 33.
Exactly.
You think last year burned him out? He's been playing his whole career. Just last year was the
hamstring bothering him last year.
What's been bothering him this year? His hamstring has been bothering him his whole career. He's 66 foot. He's 6 feet tall.
A hamstring doesn't get better or heal faster when you're 33. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Like, I don't understand what, like,
yeah, keep chasing. Yeah, he's been chasing stuff around since he was on LA and being dog then, and, like, it's just been getting worse.
You're
and,
saying
like,
this?
Like, it's not going to get better.
All of this, they were winning. They were up. They were one half away from going to the finals. Like, you're talking, they're one half away from going to the finals.
So what's to say, like, Capella doesn't get hurt again? You know, so the smallest thing.
So if you're in the organization, I'm not basing it off of that,
but the smallest thing can go wrong for the Rockets. Let me finish. The smallest thing can go wrong for the Rockets and just be over, right? Where Golden State, I think Thompson could go down or Draymond be out again. Yeah, I know they're a better team. So it's going to happen. More times than not, it happens. Like, there's a wrench thrown into things where it's like, shit, we got to figure this now on the fly. Once that happens to D'Antoni, he's shown that, like, things just all kind of crumble down.
Well, we'll leave it there. I mean, Houston, they can – so, I mean, let's leave it here. If they want to change their style of play, they have to change their personnel up.
Yeah.
Just because of the way they built their team. Last thing, let's touch on this real quick. Let's leave it with this. I just wanted to know what you think. I made a list of guys I think are going to kind of turn it up in the last third of the season. Not necessarily. If I don't name this guy, doesn't mean they're going to be playing worse. But I don't think they're going to, you know, take their game to the next level. So guys, I have. Tell me if you agree. LeBron James, obviously. I have James Harden picking it up a notch. I think he wants to move his team
picking it up a notch.
Turning it up. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean scoring more than 36, but probably playing more efficient ball. You know what I'm saying? Getting his teammates involved, getting more, you know, more of those efficient triple doubles. You know what I'm saying? Being James Harden. Yeah. Steph Curry.
I disagree, and I'll be quick. I disagree with the Harden one. I'll be quick just because I think after these comments, I think they're going to do a better job of kind of just slowing it down and letting the rest of the team trying to win games for the Rockets and trying to just coach in the playoffs. I mean, but continue.
That's another thing I wanted to say when you were saying about how the Rockets play. The Rockets play, they can play a slow pace because they do so much iso ball, which you kind of can rush on offense and defense. But yeah, let's keep going. Steph Curry, you agree with that? It's money time. Steph knows. Kawhi Leonard, I think Kawhi is going to turn it up a nice team.
No more sitting out on back to backs. Yeah, he's probably going to play the rest of these 23 out of the next 25 games, I think they have.
Right. Kyrie Irving, bright lights, Kyrie Irving, you get it. I got Ben Simmons. Benny Simmons, baby. I think he's going to pick it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He's going to turn it up a notch. His numbers
trying to show off the jumper. I see you, Ben, trying to show the jumper all this weekend.
Right. The numbers increase as the year goes on. It did last year, so I believe it will this year as well. Paul George, I think, not to say he's going to play better because he's playing out of his mind right now, but I think that MVP, he's smelling blood on that MVP race, so he just going,
Okay, so who do you think? Who do you think? I agree with all of those. Who do you think is going to slow down? I think Giannis slowed down. I think that's my first one. I think with the best record right now in the East, I think once they lock down that number one seed, I think they're going to just kind of let him coast those last 7 to 8 games. And that's going to kind of let Harden or PG, one of those guys, kind of take over in the MVP race. Who else would you have?
The last two I had was Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul's going to pick it up, you know, how hard he moves. I don't know how long he milked that hamstring, but he might be trying. He was probably trying to get healthy, healthier than he used to be. And I think Brandon Ingram, I think B.I., man, he's going to help Bron out, man. He needs to, it's just time for him to step up. People hate on him.
It's not hating on him. It's just like his demeanor and the style of play that he plays. It doesn't lead me to believe that he ever has the turn up in him. Right.
18 a night as a 21 year old man, he can play. People just hate on him.
You know, but also has 18 a night. Andrew Wiggins.
When?
What do you mean when?
You talking about right now?
Yeah, keep it going. But I'll
Wiggins
find
is 23. Right, that was my last player.
As a turn up.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about more of that on Wednesday. I think the guys that are going to fall off, or not fall off, or kind of just cool down. Giannis is having like 27 and 10 and like one of the highest usage rates in the league right now. Or not the highest, but he's like top 10. I think that just starts to go down. I said that before. I think Embiid slows down just going into the playoffs. He's going for it right now, but I think fourth in the MVP race, we're not going to push him to win. He might, just because you never know with his big ass, but I just don't see the point of us gassing him before we may have to play the Celtics in the first round. And then my last guy was, see, I went back and forth with this. I don't think there's a part of me that doesn't think Bron is healthy. And I think that he may take this season as a wash. This is kind of just like one of those side takes. This may mean the Lakers may not make the playoffs, but if that happens, just know it's because LeBron is just saying, fuck it. Like, it's no point in me going to the playoffs and not being able to go to the chip this year and wasting, you know, because the playoffs is tough. Like, he's going to have to play. There's going to be no 4-0 sweeps from the Lakers in the playoffs if they do make it. You know, so he's going to be playing a lot of games going deep in. And if he deems that not worth it, just knowing how LeBron has acted over the past couple of weeks, everyone keeps saying he's going to turn around just given off of what he's done in the past. But if he turns it off, then the Lakers are out of the playoffs. And so I think that's just kind of my prediction for the guys who are not going to be playing as well.
Okay.
What about yourself?
I respect that. I don't really have guys not necessarily not playing well. I don't really look at it like that. I think it might turn it down a little bit, but I think we covered, you know, everything we need to cover for tonight for the most part. TNT Pod. Thanks.
TNT Hoops.
Everybody for listening. TNT Hoops Pod. Thanks everybody for coming on and listening. And I'm saying just a little quick intermission between episode 7 and 8. Episode 8 will be out Thursday at 12 PM at noon. So keep an eye out on that. Tell all your friends about it. Tell your families. Keep listening to Quit in Philly. We bringing that work to y'all. Out of here.
Out.